speaking traditionally, Shiva has been approached through four avenues, which aren't necessarily the only ones, but they're kind of the most well-known four. One is through what is called prajna, which is reflective thought. So Shiva can be approached through reflective thought, through thinking about the aspects or attributes of Shiva. Just thinking about it. What are these aspects and what are they manifestations of? So prajna is one of the four things, so to speak, one can use. And then there's a mantra, which is a sound one makes. There are a lot of mantras that exist, classic mantras, and there's secret mantras. And a mantra is just a sound, or a series of sounds. And Shiva can be approached through any authentic mantra. What's an authentic mantra? Well, we have to study the different traditions and see the mantras that they talk about. One of the mantras a mantra is something you chant, either outwardly or inwardly, or both. And one of the mantras being chanted apparently at all times of the day and night around the planet translates as devotion to the mystic law of the simultaneity of cause and effect through sound. Devotion to the mystic law of the simultaneity, which you've discussed, of cause and effect through sound. So in the context in which we're speaking, that mantra, someone who's involved with that is attempting to move towards Shiva, whether they know it or not. Because sound is one of the avenues, spoken sound. The other two avenues of approach to Shiva traditionally are dance and music. So you have a lot of Indian music that's devoted to Shiva. It's pretty intense, fast-moving music compared to Vishnu music, which is kind of a bit mellow, cool, and comfortable. Shiva music, if you can get into it, it's really, you can kind of ride along on it, but it's hard to get into because it's so intense. It's moving so quickly. And then there's dance. So you can find Shaivites in the traditional Indian tradition just dancing around. Like in a village, there'll be some guy dancing around or some woman. I just dancing around through the village. Shiva. You've probably all heard of the whirling dervishes in the Sufi tradition. They're getting there by dancing around. They're having a great time. But their dance is very choreographed, coming down through centuries. Dancing to Shiva is kind of a dance of abandon. Dancing to Vishnu is kind of like ballroom dancing. It's got a certain rhythm, and you can learn it, and then you can have fun. If a person moves far enough into realizing Shiva, then their frenetic, intense, constant dancing becomes fun. As does the fact, that one's living in the burning ground and constantly on fire. That becomes like the best one could hope for. Finally, I'm getting burned up. Yeah. Now, people who don't mind being burned up, actually who pray to Shiva, please burn me up. I need to find you, and so just burn me up, please. Such people, if we're talking here of the heart, people whose have that in their heart, not merely in their head, people like that have absolutely no fear of what we call death. Zero. Because they're dying every moment. And being created every moment at the same time. So death is like nothing to such people. I mean, it's not nothing in the sense that they're saying to themselves or to one another, no, I'm not afraid of death. I mean, people say that, and they usually don't know what they're talking about, because when the death is near, they're very afraid. So to really not be afraid of death is more than thinking to oneself, I'm not afraid of death. It's a state of consciousness, not being afraid of death. That's because you're not being afraid of anything. Which means there's no fear. So even though people think Shiva is scary, if you get far enough into him, there's no fear left at all. Which means you're a transformed human being. Because at the root of all of our problems and illusions is fear. So if a person is no longer in fear, there's no more illusions. They're not needed. If I'm afraid, I'm going to project some kind of illusion to give me the impression that there's something permanent. Like the illusion of myself. That's a nice one, because then you got something going that's lasting through what's called time. But if you let go of that, just let it burn out, nothing's left. And at the same time, everything's left. So the Zen story, see, Shiva can be, Shiva's everywhere. So he shows up in every tradition. But he's only called Shiva in the East Indian tradition. But a Zen story, which some of you, I know, have heard before, this Zen master, a real one, a historical figure, the Zen master centuries ago said to one of his pupils, before I began my search for enlightenment, mountains were mountains and rivers were rivers. He said, during all the long years of my search for enlightenment, mountains were no longer mountains and rivers were no longer rivers. That's the flames. They said, and after I reached enlightenment, after decades of struggle, mountains were once again mountains and rivers were once again rivers. So once everything's destroyed, everything is just like it was in the beginning. Only there are no illusions left. Whatever that means. Wouldn't want to miss anything here. Oh, yes. This is